And we are back here on the Blank Canvas. And I now have in this segment with me the miraculous, marvelous, look at his face. I have Richardo Byron, who is our Exhibitions, Care, and Collections Associate here at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. Good evening, Richardo, and welcome to Black Canvas. It has been far too long.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
Your mommy gonna be listening to this, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, Viv. How you doing? So, Richardo just got back from hanging 30 Island Life Perspectives in Exuma. Richardo, as one of the individuals who are responsible for the preservation and collection of the National Collection, how was it hanging the show, one? How does it usually feel seeing the National Collection exhibited on Family Islands for you?
So this time around, the install, I mean, we've had quite a few like good installs in terms of the ITE, very few issues with transport, damages are like minimal or non-existent, so that's always been good, knock on wood. So in terms of the install itself, very smooth. We try to go by a case-by-case basis depending on the amount of time we need and everything, and this time around, myself and Amani Hairburn, who's the gallery assistant, we're able to put it up in 2 days.
Nice.
And it's not a large space, but we have to think about, you know, opening the actual pieces. The crate,
yeah,
is always a thing. And just making sure we go through our due diligence, make our checks and balances, and hang up the artwork. And as it relates to the actual exhibition, the different exhibitions, is always great to see people's responses, especially people in the community, people who are visiting, and like the kids, that get to see the actual artwork. And, you know, instead of seeing it in a book or having to come here, they're like, oh, wow, this is an actual painting by this artist. And they get to see kind of like that process as well, because, you know, while we're putting up the show, you might have a few who pass by.
Yeah.
So they get a little snippet of the behind the scenes. So that's always good.
I know my favorite piece in the entire collection is Kendra Farab's Butcher Block. Y'all took Butcher Block to Exuma. How was the response to Butcher Block?
So it was based on what I saw, what I observed, and like in conversation with persons, I mean, it's a really standout piece. For those of you who may not know, it's basically like a big butcher's block literally.
Yeah.
That's about 2 feet by 2 feet, like a big square cube. And the feet of it are actually chicken feet.
Yes.
Casted. And some of them are wrapped in like cotton, like raw cotton fibers. So a lot of people who saw it originally, I think because a lot of people are so used to art that's hanging on the walls, assumed it was like this table. Like this cool table. And I'm not sure if it was just like the idea of like focusing on the wall, on the work on the walls, but a couple of people didn't even like notice the feet until you looked down and you saw the label, and it's like, oh. And then like they had this like wow moment, and it's like, oh my god, this is a table, and like, how heavy is it? So there's all these questions. So but we had a really good response overall from it.
I love
because
that
it was in the center of the room. You know, it commanded presence. That, and there was another piece by Tyrone Ferguson, were the only two sculptural based works. We had some ceramic plates, one by Chelsea Pottery, and then there was the Kaiser collection of plates. So, but in terms of like sculpture, it really was the piece that was like, you know, having a lot of presence.
I think they're definitely going to have that jolt when they start having the school tours because of height.
Yes.
Little kids are always the first ones to notice it. Mm-hmm. And I know whenever it would be on display here at the gallery, I would always have to like forewarn parents. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so there's a piece in the back. You're not going to notice it. Your child is going to notice it first.
Yeah.
So when you feel somebody tugging on your arm a little bit, that's, yeah, they would have noticed Butcher's Block.
Yeah, because, like, it has, depending on how you see it, yeah. And like you said, like, you know, little kids, their point of view is lower.
Mm-hmm.
So they notice the chicken feet. They notice right this away. Thing, and they're like, what is this thing? Because from yeah. afar, and if you're not, like, paying attention in your peripheral, it looks like...
You just see beautiful wood.
Yeah. And then you see the feet and you're like, what is going on? Yeah. But I mean, it's a great piece. Anybody who knows like Kendra's work, there was always this recall to farm life
and yes.
the island life. And in this instance, and a couple of pieces, chickens,
mm-hmm.
roosters, hens. So it's not like, you know, a far stretch for her subject matter.
I love that. Why do you think spaces like that are opportunities for us to create art spaces on the Palmy Islands are of great importance to the community?
So I think it's great because we, art is already this subject that's kind of put on the back burner
mm-hmm.
for a lot of reasons, right? Even here in New Providence and other places around the world, art is considered like this second, like this thing that doesn't really fit in with culture. It's not needed. It's not, you know, it's not high on the list,
yeah.
right? But why I think it's important, or why it is important, especially when we live in such a creative space, is to give a lot of persons like encouragement, hope, and also be able to just have like, have the yeah. art that's for the people, for everybody to actually enjoy and take in. It should just be this thing that's available. I think another reason why it's important is that we need the students and artists on the Farmy Islands alike to stay in contact, stay inspired.
Mm.
One of the things that I know, especially as it relates to, and this is speaking from a New Providence, Nassau, you know, base. So don't yeah. take what I say as like, oh God, he's speaking for us. But what I've noticed is like a lot of times, like things are so Nassau-centric.
Yeah.
So concentrated here that when you do actually go there and you start to have conversations, you realize a lot of these people are like, hey, we need to be included. Like, mm-hmm. we need to also be a part of this conversation.
Yeah.
And what the ITE does is allows that to actually happen. So it's not like this big brother type of mentality, like coming in, or what I like to call this parachuting in and then parachuting out. Like, you know, like, not shooting down people, like, you know, organizations that help, like, small island places or less fortunate places, however you may put it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets into this parachuting effect where, like, oh, here comes the saviors, the people who are, you know, in this better position that's, like, doing this thing, and then you leave.
Mm.
What the ITE does is, while we're there, we build relationships with the people who are actually there, yeah. the people living there, the people who are not calling Exuma, for instance, a vacation place. You're not like ooh and ah over like these things. Like, no, I live here.
Yeah.
Like, I eat tuna and grits by this beach every morning.
Every morning.
Like, this ain't just a vacation for me. So I think it's important for us to have a presence there. And then, crazy enough, they will also continue to have a presence here.
Agreed.
So it works both ways. We keep in contact with them, they keep in contact with us, and their presence is also felt here. So there's this idea of this constant communication, this constant exchange.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like great things will come out of that. Like, people will know. Without, like, thinking about it, you could be like, oh, Exuma artist, boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, oh, I don't think I know
any artist or any artwork like, down in Exuma, right?
I don't think that's a positive thing to not know.
Yeah.
And with the ITE, those relationships are building, which is positive. It's
agreed.
Great. Yeah.
I agree. I feel like when ITE first began and we started creating relationships with like Wani Luthra and Exuma Arts Network, and other islands, I specifically remember us having a conversation right after we came from Andres, and I said in our staff meeting in the debriefing, I said, I feel like in about 5 to 6 years, you will have artists from these communities or students from these communities who would have attended these workshops creating art and then attempting to have art shows in these spaces that we're occupying, because it's almost like I feel like I could do it, but I need to see somebody else kind of do it.
Yeah.
And once they've done it, then I know for sure I could do it. And I'm going to push the envelope, because when I do it, I'm going to do it in a big way where I'm going to make my community and my island super proud.
Yeah.
Do you see that happening? I see that happening in Exuma Arts Network.
Yeah, and I mean, I could see it even in when kids come and see the exhibition. It's like, oh, this is a, and you get this sense of like a space can be transformed to be an art gallery.
Yeah.
You know, you're not limited to like what you have and thinking that it needs to be like this uber over the top space, you know? And I feel like even like you mentioned, like Wani Luthra, having that experience, even with where we had the exhibition, and persons being able to come out and attend and see the actual art on the wall. Like, I mean, it's honing back to something that's already a thing, but like transforming spaces is literally like you go to the space that was originally a shop.
A shop. Whatever. All my life. All my life.
And then, like, you come in, clean up a little bit, make sure everything is like climate control, is great for the artwork. You put up the artwork and it's like, whoa, like this is an art gallery.
Yeah.
And what it does for a lot of persons of Family Island, probably persons who weren't even exposed to art in that way, like gallery art, like in a museum or a gallery setting, it actually opens up their eye to the possibility of this being a thing. And it also encourages a lot of younger persons who might not be encouraged, just being frank, in school to pursue art. You know, so they're seeing this and like, oh my God, like there are actual people out here creating art in a significant way, making waves, actually connecting with the community and actually making a change. They're not, you know, taking away this thing that they want to pursue, a career in arts, or even if it's just a hobby. I think it's a great thing to pursue, being a creative. Especially when you're thinking about smaller communities. And, you know, you never want to discourage that.
When did you have your aha moment that you were going to be a practicing artist?
I guess it would have been, I wouldn't say practicing artist, but I'd say definitely someone who is going to be in the arts and continue to do that when I was in grade 6. That was a long story. It's like, it always was, for me, it was always this determination to prove that being a creative, being an artist, isn't connected to someone who's not intelligent. Because when I was in school, there was always this, oh, you know, he could draw, so that means he ain't a smart. Right. Or like, you know, he ain't everything. He's so talented. Like, being talented or being this person who's like really creative was synonymous with this person who got bad grades in school.
Agreed.
And when I was in grade 6, there was this one kid, not gonna call his name on radio, but I know his name, used to draw really well. Like, he used to do still lives, cartoons, stuff, everything. And I only used to draw, like, the little diagrams. Everybody's like, oh, try to draw my diagram.
Draw my diagram of science.
Exactly. And I used to be really good at it. And they never saw me as this super talented person because I was also
book smart.
So from then, I was like, you know what? Like, I could prove y'all wrong.
Yeah,
and I started to draw all these things that he was drawing and staying on top of, like, my work and everything. And ever since, it's just been this this challenge mm-hmm. of like proof, because it's still the narrative to this day.
Yeah.
That, you know, oh, he ain't doing good in school, put him in art. When and I hope a lot of administrators and educators are listening out there. If you have a student that's not doing well in other subjects, the solution is not to put them in, the solution is not to put them in art, because art is actually not easy.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So what is the solution then?
The solution is to actually keep on top of that student.
Yeah. And do what?
Encourage them to be all they could be.
Mm-hmm.
But only if they're interested in art.
Agreed.
We put them in art.
Yeah.
Because it's not the save all. It's not this, it's going to help. Because a lot of what the narrative I heard, especially when I was in high school, is like, this is going to help your GPA. It's an easy grade. Put them in art. It's only like drawing and coloring, so whatever, which is not the case. When I was in high school, that actually hurt a lot of people's GPA.
Agreed. Because of how stringent the curriculum is, right?
Yeah.
So I think when you see, for me, when I interact with people who reach out, my child does art or is interested in art, I usually convince them to seek out one of the after school art programs. Because the in-school art program may not be as boastful and strong as the child needs it to be, because they may just have a very wandering mind trying to troubleshoot so many things all at once, when everything in the art world is a troubleshoot.
Yeah.
Everything in art is a troubleshoot, and that helps young people sort out how to do conflict resolution within themselves, how to troubleshoot ideas, engineering, mathematics, chemistry, color schemes, like the whole gamut, and then having to ask them to express what this means.
Yep.
So I think a lot of times people forget the multidisciplinary approach that can and should happen within art.
Yeah, because it also happens both ways too. You also have the student that is like
super high achieving,
super technical, and you know,
they just need a moment to just express themselves.
Yep. And you have the very intelligent, very book smart student that doesn't get allowed to do art because it's seen again as this thing that's not like, oh no, you should be doing like all the other
options. Go do chemistry, go do physics.
Yeah, don't do art. So it works both ways, in that you could be discouraging someone and then also putting someone who's not interested in it in a very like weird position.
Agreed.
Know?
So moving away from all of that. Charista is happening. Which country are you cheering for, Charo?
I mean, it's only one country you could cheer for.
Who's the one country you can cheer for? Better be a Grenada.
I got to cheer for the Bahamas.
Oh, yay. I think the Bahamas team is going to do well. Do you know that the kids have been, I think the swim team, because, you know, the swim team are like the Carifta, like champions, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they have been going ham at practice this element for the past 2 weeks, especially with, like, all the weather changes and everything. Mm-hmm. They were, like, trying to, like, get their body ready. Like, they don't care. Like, if it ran, it could snow, aliens could come down, they getting that gold again, and they ain't slapping up this time.
See, well, it's glad to know you are
keeping up. a little bit. And I think I'm so thankful for social media, because if it wasn't for social media, I wouldn't know any of this stuff, right?
Okay.
Shout out to all the track clubs that have definitely been supporting. I heard that there were 18 individuals, I believe, that were qualified from the Family Islands. So I'm excited to see them and their family come up and support the Charifta Games.
Oh, that's good.
It's exciting. Hopefully we get a lot of good viral moments for the country. What do you think the people will leave, the people who will be visiting, what sort of memories do you think that they'll leave away, they walk away from having of Charifta and the Bahamas?
Well, hopefully they can get a sense of what the Bahamas is all about if they've never been here. An idea of like a sportsmanship, which is supposed to be like up there.
Yeah, man.
And they, you know, everybody feels good about whether they lost to the Bahamas.
Right.
Or not.
Definitely.
But I hope, you know, it's like everything goes well. Because that's ultimately win or lose. You want people to come here, have a good time.
Have a great experience. Yeah.
And be, you know, be optimistic about coming back.
Of course.
I think that's like...
Yeah.
The number one thing.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited for Charifta, and I'm super excited for the 50th Independence Celebrations. I know that they have just dropped the calendar. So everyone who's interested in knowing what's all happening in your neck of the woods for the 50th Independence Celebrations, please visit the Secretariat's website. I don't have it on hand right now, but you can find the calendar. And with that, do you have any closing thoughts, Ricardo?
No.
Okay, cool. Nobody has any closing thoughts for me today. Y'all had all right. Thank you to my NAGB family for joining me today. I encourage you all to continue to uplift, honor, and shape the expression of the human heritage, and I look forward to hosting you all again real soon. To all of our listeners, I invite you to visit the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, your home for Bahamian visual art. If you aren't able to physically visit, fret not. Visit the website at nagb.org.bs and connect with us via social media so you don't miss out on anything. See you all next time. I'm your host, Maddie, and this has been The Blank Canvas here on 96.9 Guardian FM Radio. Take care. Much love.